Take your Bibles, if you would, Job chapter 11. Can you believe it's been a whole month since we've talked about the book of Job? Please stand when you find your place there. I'm just going to read the first six verses. See how far we get tonight. Probably not that far. Job chapter 11, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently there in your Bibles. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, "Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak, and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth." We've had this great tragedy happen to a righteous man. All right. Now, by the way, this is God's account of Job, not ours and not his friends, certainly. All right. So we've had, if you just kind of just quickly flip back and just kind of see what's happening here. We know that Job does have a complaint. He does not understand. God has not told him what's going on. Okay? Neither has God told his three friends what's going on. Now, we did discuss and talk about Mr. Eliphaz, the Temanite, one of the friends who spoke first. You understand? We hashed it out. We not appear as though it was a dream of a godly sort, but rather perhaps an indictment or a vision given by demonic sources to further accuse Job. Okay, because in that vision, God also was accused, and we know that God wouldn't do that. And so we see that, and he lays a strong hold on his friend Job and says, "Job, God is true, and he always punishes wickedness. And the righteous he blesses, he preserves them." And by the way, Job was preserved for a very long time. You understand, Satan even said so. "No, God, I haven't really considered this guy because you keep protecting him and I can't attack him, so I'm not wasting my time on this." Okay, so we know that. And then, of course, we know how Job answered him. And then we had Bildad. He voiced up and said this something similar, but maybe a little more aggressive toward Job. And then Job goes back and he answers his friend Bildad. And defends himself and says, "Look, I, as far as I know, I'm right with God. And if God, if I'm not, show me and shine a light on this if there's a problem, and I'll correct it." And so we just finished that in chapter 10 here. He says, "Look, I am so ready for you, God, to enter in here and tell me what's going on." So you would think, though, after the first two friends speak, and all that they've heard Job say, you'd think that Zophar would have a little bit of understanding and a little bit of wisdom as he begins to answer. But this guy is probably the most clueless of them all, in my opinion. Okay, let's throw that out there as my opinion. Because he jumps in on Job harder than the first two. And he just attacks this guy. Now, think about this. They've been sitting together for some time. Each one, I mean, Eliphaz didn't take Job aside over here to another room and talk to him privately about what his thoughts were toward Job. And Bildad, you know, and Job didn't, you know, he didn't just talk to Eliphaz, his friend. And then Bildad didn't take Job aside and just talk to him. And you know, Zophar, he's heard all of this. Eliphaz has heard all this. Bildad's heard all this. Zophar's heard all this. And Job is answering. He's giving them information. He's talking to them about it. Bildad accused him of being a hypocrite. Zophar is now going to come in, and he's going to accuse him of some things. And listen, he's more harsh than his friends were when you think he'd be more understanding. He's now heard Job's complaint and Job's sorrow, and he's heard these things, but yet it's almost like he's dismissed them. Because there is no other answer than that Job is guilty of something and he's hiding it. So look how harsh this man is on his friend. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, "Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified?" So he starts right off by just saying, "Job, you're a blowhard." Now, I don't think that's true. Now, Job has had quite a bit of grief to deal with, quite a bit of sorrow to deal with, not a lot of understanding to deal with, and he's had to give, if you will, already two answers for the same or similar accusations. Of course he's going to have to say a lot of things. And he's got a lot to tell because these men were not here when these things took place. And by the way, these men don't know what God is about to do or has done or why he's done what he's done. They have no idea. It reminded me of something. As Jesus was talking to the disciples in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." That much speaking part reminded me of what Zophar was saying about his friend. And now, as we look to this, Zophar suggests that Job is trying to hide his guilt with a multitude of words. And with a whole bunch of fluff, let's call it. How many of you have ever had to write a term paper? Okay? Right. You try to fill up the space. You know, so you say, instead of just saying, you know, the dog is white, okay? I was going to say the dog is red, but I don't know any red dogs, but Clifford, the big red dog, right? The dog is white, okay? But instead of just saying the dog is white, you say the beautiful, fluffy, white Labradoodle dog is white. You know, you overemphasize, you expand your sentence, right? You add about 17 different adjectives and things like that, and you fluff it up. How many of you are guilty of this? You've done this before, okay? All right, yeah. You're like, I don't have to do it anymore. ChatGPT writes my essays for me now. Right? You got to be careful of that. I've never used that. I don't know what it is. But I've only heard about it from other people. But do you understand? This is what Job's being accused of. Trying to cover up his sin. Now, Zophar also accuses Job of lying. Not only of trying to, if you will, make up a distraction to take people's minds off of his sin and put it elsewhere. He also is accused of lying. He said, very plainly, "Should thy lies make men hold their peace?" So, I mean, how would you like it if you had all of this happen to you? Your wealth taken away from you, your substance taken away from you, all that you own, all that you have, your children, your health, your wife is even upset with you, etc. All of this happens, and so far you've had to already endure one friend railing on you and another friend railing on you. And now this man, beyond the other two, just stands up and says, Job, you're a liar. Yeah. And by the way, I want you just to look at the audacity, I'm going to call it that, of Zophar. Look at verse 6. He says this, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Wow! He says that, Job, you deserve double what you've got. My word. How can you say that to a man who's lost all of his children? By the way, I don't want to know what it would be like to lose 10 children. I have 13. You say, well, that would leave you with 3. Yeah, but that would be minus 10. That would be a lot. I mean, but my goodness, how could you lose more than that? How could God, if this were the hand of God against someone, how could God do anything else to him? His wealth is gone. His material possessions are gone. I guess the only thing he could have taken more would be the life of his wife. But the man is desolate. He's expressed how he just wishes he would be dead, that his life would be over. That's how badly he feels from this, if you will, so-called judgment that is upon him. And Zophar has the audacity to say that God should have punished him more. By the way, how does Zophar know what evil thing Job has done to deserve all of this? And isn't this man supposed to be his friend? These are all things that I thought about when I read through these first 6 verses. And I'm sitting in my office and I'm just thinking about how could this man even be a friend? You know, I thought about my friends that I have. And you know what? I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner, saved by grace, just like the rest of us are. Right? And I thought about, okay, if one of my friends were to go through a very difficult thing like this, how in the world could I go sit at their house and tell them that they're a liar, that the things that they're saying are not true, that they're not righteous, and they're not clean before God, but they're a horrible, rotten, and they deserve double of what they got? Wow. I don't think I could do that. I don't know what kind of person could do that. If you want to, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. These are just some thoughts that I had as far as this thing is concerned. And let me just tell you this. If you read the end of the book of Job, God tells Job's friends to ask Job to pray for them. We'll get to that when we get to that, but I just want you to say this, that this guy was dead wrong, and God forbid we be a Zophar. But do you remember what Jesus said here in chapter 7? He says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy mote out of thy brother's eye. That's about it, isn't it? What Zophar? A big old giant hypocrite. And what he's doing to Job is so uncalled for and so malicious. And so, if you will, hateful. It kind kind of makes me wonder about Zophar. Where is any kind of Christian compassion? Instead, Zophar just boldly says, Job, you're a blowhard. You're trying to distract us by all these words. And just because you say a lot of words, does that make you justified? And then he says, beside that, you're a liar. And it says you're mocking God and you're mocking us. By the way, Job wasn't doing any of those things. He says, for thou hast said, my doctrine is pure. By the way, why didn't Zophar believe him? Let me ask you that question. That's a good question. Why didn't Zophar believe Job that he was without sin and he was right in the eyes of God and he didn't know why this was happening? What did Zophar have a, you know, cell phone record or a videotape or something recording Job's awful sin against God that he deserved double the punishment? I mean, really, right? They didn't have iPhones back then. And then you couldn't go look it up on the internet. And by the way, it took these guys a while to get there. I don't even think they lived in the same county. If there were counties. You know, it'd be like you or me telling somebody that we know down in Austin or San Antonio or Houston or where, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you're a liar. None of these things are true. Are we in their lives every day? Do we know what's true and what's not? Well, I heard from so-and-so. Okay, well, we don't even have any record of that. But yet this man is so bold, and I'm going to even call it brash, if you will. This man is not pulling any punches. He goes right after Job, if you will, right after the jugular. And listen to this. While Job's wounds are still bleeding, his sores are still running, his so-called friends are there, and they're beating up on him. And his wife, of course, is at odds with him, if you will. And we already talked about her. This is not her fault. Okay? She's probably going to feel that way because she's seeing her husband in great grief. She's in great grief. They've lost their children. I don't blame her one bit. But she's at all in you know, upheaval. And he's lost everything. And his children, and all those scars are fresh. And this man comes in and just begins to beat this man. Instead of bringing ointment and balm to soothe or ease the suffering, he comes in with a cat of nine tails, tearing away the flesh. That's how Zophar comes in. And I want you to see just how he is with this. Now, he accuses Job of lying. He accuses Job of his much talk and his flowery words trying to distract. But then he accuses Job of mocking God and making a mockery of God. And then he calls in verse 5, he calls out and says, but oh, that God would speak. And listen, I promise you this. I think at this moment in time, Job is wishing that as well. I mean it. We heard the end of chapter 10, remember? How Job said, God, I just wish that because it's dark here, and I wish that the light would shine. I just wish you would come forth, because if I have sin, just come and tell me what it is, and I'll get rid of it. I mean, he seems very open. But God, for right now, is being silent, and Zophar is going to be very, very surprised when God does open his mouth. You understand that the secrets of God, if you will, the mysteries of God, are indeed a mystery to us. And we need to make sure that we stay out of this part of it. It's not our place. What Job's three friends missed is that they were to be there for their friend Job. And this is what I tell people a lot of times. It is not my place to judge you. It is my place to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. But you know what? I'm not supposed to go up to you and say, you know what? Your sin is wicked before God and you need to repent. I mean, personally, I'm going to say that in a public forum, because if you have sin against that is against God, you ought to repent from it. But it's not my job to go scathe you and get you right with God as my last dying breath. These men, for some reason, have taken it upon themselves to be the judge, the jury, and the executioners. And Zophar in particular. But what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to wait on the Lord. The judgment is the Lord's. He's the one. What are we supposed to do? Forgive. What are we supposed to do? Restore. What are we supposed to do? Help a brother in need. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to do all of that. We're not supposed to execute. That's not our job. You understand that God is the one that is to judge. God is the one that will reveal himself. By the way, if this judgment came upon Zophar or Eliphaz or Bildad, any of these guys, do you suppose that Job would have gone down and accused them of some great wrongdoing? I don't think he would have. But yet these men, they took it upon themselves to do so. You know what? When we have people that are in our circle, if you will, or influence, that is going through difficulties, it is not up to us to condemn them. God can do that on his own. He's more than capable, isn't he? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to help bring them back into the fold. We're supposed to help them understand and overcome their difficulties. Just a few more words about this and then we'll be done tonight. Just be very careful to let God and his word speak in reference to another person's faith and walk and sin and life and what they do. God is the one that will speak against them. Because guess what? Over and over in the New Testament, just like I read to you in Matthew 7, God says it's not for us to be the judge of these things. Now, we're supposed to speak the truth. And it's okay to go to a brother and sister of Christ and say, hey, this is wrong. That's all right. But listen, we're not the ones that say, well, if you don't get this right, God should punish you double. Huh. Okay. Or by the way, if a brother or sister in Christ says to you, I'm clean before God. No, you're not. You're a liar. Or if they say something like, I don't know why God is judging me. I'm just full of grief, full of sorrow. Well, you're mocking God. Well, that's what this man said. Those things about his so-called friend. So, Zophar goes so far even as to appeal to God that God himself would appear against Job. Now, why in the earth would anyone pray for God to come down and appear against their friend? That's beyond me. He doesn't believe his friend. He thinks his friend is hiding something. He thinks this man should be punished. Should be punished even more. And he says, he's basically wagging his finger in the face of Job and just saying to Job, Job, if God were here, boy, he'd really give it to you. As if God is not around?